Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you for your word to us today. And we pray that each of us will hear in it what you want us to hear. The truth that you have for us as individuals, and the truth you have for us as your people. And may we have the wisdom, the will, and the courage to understand it and follow it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If we needed any idea of the power of words, then we got them this week. If you consider the fact that a picture is worth a thousand words, then the news of the movie trailer for the movie entitled Innocence of Muslims and the way that it has inflamed the passions and angers of in predominantly Muslim countries must convince you that words have a lot of power and must be used wisely. Yes, there are many in our country who speak of free speech, and they believe that the movie was okay, or the trailer. They believe that the movie was in no part, or played no part, in the deaths in Libya and the attacks in Cairo, Yemen, and Sudan, and other countries. However, all you have to do is remember back when Danish cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad sparked Muslim hatred 7 years ago. And imagine what this trailer of this movie might start. I condemn the violence and the killing of our people and against our people in the strongest of terms. But I also hold those who did this movie, trailer, whatever you want to call it, partially responsible for what happened. Our texts from Proverbs and James today have much to say about that, about the power of words and wisdom and the consequences of their abuse. The beginning of our Proverbs passage says, "Wisdom cries out in the street, in the square she raises her voice. At the busiest corner she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in scoffing and fools hate knowledge?" Fools hate knowledge. Our faith is one that demands understanding and grappling with what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Our faith cannot do that or does not demand that we check our brains when we come into church at the door. We use our brains, our thought processes, to understand what God is saying to us by not just reading the words, but also by understanding the context in which they were written, in which they were delivered, to the best of our abilities. Yet I think there are many who are unwilling to do that. In fact, the author of James seems to suggest that humans really cannot do that. I'm reading a portion of a James passage from the biblical paraphrase called The Message by Eugene Peterson. "This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues we bless God our Father. With the same tongues we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. And so for this reason, we begin to understand that wisdom is inextricably bound with humility. A wise person knows that he or she does not have all of the answers and is wrong at times. I came across a quote by an anonymous person. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. Nobody lives long enough to make them all himself or herself. And Thomas Jefferson is said to have remarked, "The wise know too well their own weakness to assume infallibility. And he or she who knows most knows how little they know." Reverend Dr. Eric Barreto, an assistant professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, captures this essence of humility in our James passage when he writes in a blog about this passage about teachers. James imagines teachers who are communal leaders called by God to shape communities of faith that reflect the goodness and grace of that all-loving God. Such teachers do not hide behind pulpits and podiums, nor are they content merely to deliver lofty lectures. The kind of teachers James hopes for instead rubs shoulders with the people, lives in their midst in the midst of their struggles, sharing their grief and joys alike. Such teachers are living examples of a life lived in faithful service to one's sisters and brothers. Not above the people, but you're with the people, sharing in all of the issues and the joys. This past summer at Chautauqua, I had the opportunity, as I've said, to hear the Reverend Dr. Barbara Brown Taylor in a series of sermons on water. And at one point, she talked about there being two books that we need to seek to understand. The little book of Scripture and the big book of creation. It was her understanding that the little book of Scripture was incomplete by itself, but it had to be read in the context of the big book of creation. The big book of creation is about the interconnectedness of all of God's creation and how God's Spirit reaches out to all people through that interconnectedness. And wisdom understands that. Wisdom understands that interconnectedness. That the fear of the Lord begins by trying to understand how God relates to the people and how God wants the people to relate to each other. And for that to happen, you have to read both books. It is because of our belief as Presbyterians that understanding is important. From the very beginning in this country, we have been great believers in education. And for that reason, our denomination started a number of colleges in the late 1700s and 1800s for the purpose of training people not only to be able to read, but to understand what they were reading. To read both books, the little book of Scripture and the big book of creation. And I'm very proud of that part of our Presbyterian heritage. And will admit, as most of you well know, I graduated from one of those Presbyterian colleges. But something different is happening today that I find very disturbing. And the latest incident of it happened just this past summer. In July of this year, the Texas GOP at their state convention approved a platform for the Texas state platform. One of the planks of that platform said this: knowledge-based education. We oppose the teaching of higher order thinking skills, value clarification, critical thinking skills, and similar programs that are simply a labeling, a relabeling of outcome-based education, which focus on behavior modification and have the purpose of challenging the student's fixed beliefs and undermining parental authority. Now, to be fair, some GOP leaders did say that that plank should not be in there. But because the whole convention voted it in, the whole convention would have to gather to vote it out. So it probably won't happen. But can you imagine what Lady Wisdom would shout from the street corners in the face of such news? There is a reason that God gave us the minds that we have, so that we can make the connections. Minds that can reason and understand. There's a reason that God gave us minds that could research back and understand what times were like and people's thought processes were, to understand why people said and did what they said and did, and how others probably saw or heard it. But it takes work. It takes work. I would love to have a group that gathered on a regular basis to talk about faith matters in relation to current events. A group that would read both the little book of Scripture and the big book of creation. And if you're interested in such a thing, talk to me or somebody on the Christian Education Committee. As disciples of Christ, we need to build up, we need to exercise, we need to use our minds that God gave us, and not just accept everything at face value. We need to teach this to our children, to our youth. And we also need to continue to learn as adults. As I've said before, we cannot hope to live with wisdom, peace, and strength and justice in today's world with just the faith that we learned in church as children in Sunday school. Our CE program has done a lot over the past several years to increase our education offerings for adults. And we'll be doing more this year. Plan to be a part of them as much as you can. And I leave you with a play on an old quote. A spiritually discerning mind is a terrible thing to waste. Amen.